Hi, thanks for clicking on this podcast. Welcome back to another episode. I am going to be doing a student interview with grade 12 students from Philippine Science High School, Cagayan Valley, featuring Julia, Ray, and Hansel. So thank you to you three for interviewing me. I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to be answering their questions, but then some of the topics that we talk about include chasing numbers, clout chasing, content creators being walking billboards for corporations, what it means to be an influencer, what it means to influence other people, collaboration, support drama, backstabbing, cancel culture, things like that, and all these other in-between topics. I hope you enjoy this one. I really had lots of fun, especially at the end, talking about what it means to pursue an autotelic art or something for the passion of it, or the enjoyment of just doing it, not the reward at the end. I'll see you after the interview.
Hi.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hi Julia.
Hi Hansel, right? And Ray.
This is so surreal.
What's up? Kumusta kayo?
Okay lang naman. Kayo po?
Good. We're adjusting. We woke up. We still woke up early. We woke up 5 a.m. kanina, and then we took a nap. Siguro mga 4, no? Yeah, Pauline's there. We're just in the room.
It's so weird.
Yeah, I'll explain the story soon. But we're having fun traveling and adjusting.
That's great. Okay, I'm super excited to talk to you, but at the same time, like, I'm super nervous because you're like super cool. I really love talking to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Will you guys be doing an audio recording of this?
Is it okay?
Yeah. Actually, I was gonna ask, baka I can use it for my podcast. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah, sure. We would be honored.
Pasend na lang after you're done. Oh.
Wait lang po.
Sige, we're gonna send it na lang sa email.
Yeah. Wait lang thank you, po. Thank you.
Okay, so it's a video recording po. Oh my god.
Sige. Video po pa. Ako na bahala mag-convert. Oo.
Okay po.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's start.
Sure.
So, we prepared a couple of questions. So, like for the first set, we prepared questions that are gonna help us know you better. So, for our first question, how would you introduce yourself to those who don't know you? Like, not necessarily as an influencer, but how would you introduce yourself, like, as a person?
Yeah, I mean, in person, I would probably go, "Hi, I'm Nate. This is my wife, Pauline. Yeah, next. We just got married." then they usually ask about what you do. I'd either say the phrase content creator, or if they're older, I'll say marketing consultant. So on the side, part of why I haven't been super consistent then is because I've been taking clients as a marketing consultant. So iba-iba din yung marketing because it's so broad, diba? For one client, I'm doing copywriting sa social media nila. Depende on what they ask, but that's usually how I'd explain it. Another one, I'm doing graphic design. I'm helping with building a brand strategy for another one, for a sports company. Yun, iba-iba. People like to ask what you do for a living, so that's usually how I introduce myself.
So that's you, like, as a person. What about as a social media influencer? Like, how would you define yourself as that? Like, what are your goals, and how do you want other people to see you, like, as a social media influencer?
Yeah, I was able to write down a bit. If I were to define myself as a social media influencer, whether that's elevator pitch or, diba, sometimes kasi brands email me, "Hey, what kind of content do you make?" And sabi ko, I'm a faith-based inspirational content creator for students and young professionals, especially in the Philippines. Personally, I would say that my goals as an influencer is really just to add inspirational and practical value to the lives of those who view my content. So especially with regards to Christian living. Aware naman kayo, faith-based content creator ako mostly. you know, some content, some topics, some brands call for faith-neutral discussions, and I'm super open to that as well. Yeah.
Okay, so kasi diba before you used to appear lang sa mga videos ni Ate Janina sa YouTube channel niya.
Yeah.
So what exactly motivated you or pushed you to create your own content and like start your own YouTube channel?
Right. So during that time, nagsimula yata siya 2015. Sakto lang ako sa YouTube noon. Din ako nanonood masyado. She was the first one on the trend watching DIYs and makeup and things like that. But then over time, just on a separate path, I discovered Snapchat. And sa Snapchat, I don't know if you've seen yung ano, hello, 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 it's Nathan. It's very, very old, your content. Pero I would just do parodies of Janina's vlogs and then I'd put it sa mga friends ko lang. But then eventually, na-inspired din ako in my own way kay Casey Neistat. Syempre, one of the king of vlogging here in that.
I was actually thinking of mentioning him to you because like he reminds me of you so much. So.
Oh, thank you. Si Will Basovich ang na-inspire sa kanya, you know. But he's still one of, I mean, I love the way that he tells stories and gets stories from the mundane things in life and gets life lessons from that and gets to tell it on camera. Kaya ako nag, I love documentary filmmaking kasi. Ever since I was in high school, I would always win best documentary or I'd win prizes or awards for lahat ng documentary projects ko. That was one of my strong suits. And so I took that interest with me all the way until I started vlogging in fourth year college. Yung nag-push talaga sa akin is my family. Kasi they said, oh, you're making videos on Snapchat na, and you always make documentaries. Try it naman sa YouTube, you'll never know what could happen. So there.
And now you're here. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the next set of questions, we're going to be asking about social media influencers, like culture and like, yeah, that topic in general. So for your first question, like as a social media influencer, what do you think are the importance of the social media influencers in the society that we live in today?
Sure. Ako, I'll talk a bit realistically, ha?
Yeah.
I would say they're basically social media influencers, especially with the word influencer, especially in the whole business side of things, they're basically walking billboards for corporations, in my opinion. I like these content creators because it gives a different spin. But yun, influencers are also known as, diba, troves of content for today's consumerist culture. For me, especially meron tayong on-demand economy right now. That's what they call it. So on-demand, whatever movie you want to watch, diba? Whatever music you want to listen to, whatever Lazada, Shopee you want to buy, it's there quicker than ever. So influencers and content creators also contribute, I guess, to that kind of economy. And now there's content, there's food, there's online shopping choices, there's an app, music, for everyone and everything with any type of interest, diba? So that's one way that they play a role in society. But then, of course, on a more positive note, influencers also influence the viewers. And I'm gonna define influence so that we don't get confused. Ako personally, influence is being able to make a change in the way that someone thinks or acts, diba? So of course, I believe that influencers have a responsibility to use their platforms and abilities wisely and for the common good. So if you're going to influence someone, diba, change the way that they think or act, maybe a young, diba, a young professional from not caring about the government to at least voting, right? Or from not caring about a certain issue and then moving them to maybe speak up about it, even just with their friends or family. And so parang that's, I mean, I mentioned, diba, one of my goals or my biggest goal is to add value to the lives of those who view my content. And so as an influencer, those two things intersect, in my opinion.
Okay, so since like influencers, like content creators,
di ba parang they're everywhere na today. Since nga ganun, parang it's inevitable na hindi mag-form ng mga norms and stereotypes about them.
Yeah.
What norms or like stereotypes are present in the social media influencer culture na you're aware of?
Sige. I've never regarded myself as a very social media savvy guy, no. So my opinion might be very different from the normal. But I'm pretty sure that among influencers, one of the most important things is to chase numbers. People aren't gonna admit it. People aren't gonna say it outright. Well, some, but then others, diba? Whenever you say, "Oh, don't forget to subscribe, don't forget to like this video," that's usually going to be because they want more subscribers, because they want more likes. And that's not a bad thing inherently, which I can explain later on. But there's good validation and bad validation. But there's also you can ask them to turn on your notifications so that they can watch your video whenever you put a new one out, because you want them to watch it, because you have something important that you need to share that you feel like will be worth their time. But that's a different way of asking them to subscribe. But then you know that inherently people want you to subscribe because they want to reach 1K, they want to reach 10K, 100K. And so among the whole influencer circle, of course, that's one big norm. Others is, diba, cloud chasing is a big one.
Yeah.
Again, not everyone. This is only generally based on what I see in the most popular ones. Like throw off a lot of their stuff. Sometimes they're just genuinely proud of it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there is a bit of a culture na parang, I bought a new car, especially sa mga ano, sa States, my influencers dito. I bought a new Ferrari or whatever. I bought a new house. And that's all great content, and they know it. Eh. They know kasi that when they put that content out, more people will watch it, and it becomes a cycle. Wait, let me look at my notes, huh?
Yeah, sure.
One thing more. Are there Ayan here? So other norms, huh? Of course they can include collaboration and support. I've met so many other influencers and content creators, Benedict Kua, you know, Luigi Pacheco, Jericho Arceo, if you're familiar with those guys, mm-hmm. but they're all great. Sobrang supportive nila, sobrang collaborative, and they've all reached greater heights, no. And I'm very proud to be their friend. And it's kind of that relationship. And anytime, let's say, bumalik na ako sa Philippines, right? And sobrang layo na ni Benedict Kua sa akin. Like, he's what? 1,000,000+ subscribers. That's not gonna mean a thing, you know? So there are a lot of influencers out there. Na it's really just about the humanity, diba? Not about who has more numbers or what. Another norm is drama and backstabbing. I'm not going to go into that one, but it does exist. Another one is competition. So sometimes there's healthy and friendly competition. Other times it's more fierce. There's more tea. In the Philippines, overall, I think the norm is a very young and entertainment-centric culture. A lot of spectacle. A lot of, diba, pranks are always going to work, right? Performances. Again, neither of these things are bad, diba? But I mean, of course, you're gonna have the case of some influencers who just do pranks every day, even if they're fake, because it helps them get more numbers. And I think you know who I'm talking about. And it just validates the fact that there is a norm for chasing numbers. So iba-iba. But generally, I think I've described a bunch of what I know about the norms in social media influencer culture.
In relation to that, what do you think about cancel culture?
Yeah, there. That's the drama and backstabbing. I think that it's more than just social media influencers. So the influencers only amplified what was already there. Yeah. Itong bagong generation, diba? I'm included here, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect or that I've never done this. But then, if there's anything out there in the world that makes a certain person feel bad, automatically the whole world needs to listen to that person and bend towards him. And I'm exaggerating it, not everybody is like this, but you know what I mean. For example, diba, last generation, if a student complains to their parents, diba, the teacher hates me, the teacher doesn't like me, he's giving me bad grades intentionally, diba, the parent will go, oh, ano ngayon? Parang the world is not gonna bend to your favor. You gotta work through it and just be strong and persevere, and you'll find your way out of that, diba? Because there are really people like that in life, and you can't please everyone. But you know, nowadays it's kind of become a thing. The teacher hates me, he's giving me bad grades intentionally. Oh, we gotta get that teacher fired. You know, it's different, the way that the generation is raised. And this is not everyone. I'm not generalizing. Well, no, I kind of am generalizing, but you know what I mean, man. There's a new entitlement to our feelings. And I think that when we've given ordinary people platforms for thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of people to listen to them, once their feelings are touched and it doesn't go their way, they feel like they have the right, and they do have the right to speak out, but they feel like they have more than just the right to speak out, but even the right for other people to bend towards their will.
Okay. So for my next question, I'm sure that you also watch like and get inspiration from other YouTubers, like YouTubers international and local. So what do you think are the main differences between local and international influencers, like in terms of nature, purpose, like how they produce their videos, like editing and all those stuff?
Yeah, well, it goes back not just to social media, diba? Not just to social media, but to media as a whole, eh? Mm-hmm. Entertainment and media as a whole. So if you compare a simple thing like a TV commercial, diba? Here in the Philippines versus a TV commercial in the States, you would see that the States ones are a little more, can be a bit more intellectual. We'll have a few more high-level concepts of, I don't know, like how insurance works. Alam nila yun eh, diba? That's why they can sell car insurance and house insurance and things like that. Or even real estate or law services here in the States, in TV. But then, sa TV ng Pilipinas, diba? Ariel, and then there's like a jingle with it, and then it's tingy-tingy that you're seeing. It's not the in bulk. And you're not gonna see a commercial like that here in the States. And this is not poor shaming or anything, but we live in a third world country, and that's the content that results from the ba parang it's the content that we see on TV is a result of the market, diba? The people that we want to market to it. And so who's gonna be watching TV here in the States? It's the people who have money to buy cars. It's the people who have money to buy insurance for their houses, right? Who are the people who are going to be watching TV primetime in the Philippines? It's those who need laundry detergent, tingi-tingi. And, you know, the culture also for them is, I mean, even just coming from, I don't know the history kasi of it, but when we were oppressed by the Spaniards, alam ko, one of the things we ran to is really musicals and performances and just creative arts in terms of like entertainment and songs and things like that. And so that all the way until now, we run to love themes. We run to cute telenovelas with the same story every time, a poor girl meets a rich guy. We have jingles and songs and trendy dances on TikTok, which are all fun and good. But I see a slight bit of, at least compared to first world countries, a slight bit of escapism from the problems that people are going through, no? And that reflects in social media as well. You will see na mas marami ang, I really don't want to compare on a spectrum of better or worse, but mas marami ang quote-unquote intellectual na content pag sa States. Talking about politics, talking about the economy, ganon. Of course, you'll see that in the Philippines, and I'm very happy and very proud na may mga MDs, may mga lawyers, may mga economists now, young ones and old ones making content on YouTube that are very informative. But of course, the ones with millions of subscribers are the ones that pull pranks every day, even if they're fake, right? Yun.
Okay, for the next set of questions, we're going to be talking about you as a social media influencer. So, okay. I think you like tackled this a bit a while ago na. But our first question is, what influences your content the most?
Sige. So, iba-iba ang channels ko of content. Not YouTube channels, but you know, channels of content. So, first one is, well, the most recent one I posted is Good Morning Nate. So, yung Good Morning Nate ko, I'm on episode, it's here on the screen, 240. Episode 240. Yeah, so what influences my content? That's really just the Bible and inspiration, journaling, things that I get from praying, spending time with God, things that I get from what I learn in church, what I learn from mentors. And then I just want to pass it on in small, you know, easy to consume videos so that it can add value to their lives. So that's one. Yung YouTube, what inspires my content is, or influences my content is really just other YouTubers. Itong YouTube is, it kind of became my platform to experiment. Mm-hmm. Compared to Good Morning Nate, diba? You will see different kinds of, what I really want is to create a common thread. That's what's lacking in my personal branding. Wala pa masyadong, well, especially before Pauline. Now that Pauline's here, a lot of it is marriage, diba? But diba, it kind of became a place for me to experiment on whatever video I want. I can put a travel video, I can put a vlog, I can put a prank, I can put a what. And for a while, people didn't know, oh, what kind of content creator is Nate? Like, is he a vlogger or is he a, what's he putting out there online? I don't understand. And that's why some brands didn't even get me because they didn't know how my content was focused, diba? But it's other YouTubers that inspire that. But enough about that. I don't think that's very relevant. But yeah, like if I see a Casey Neistat vlog, then I want to make like a Casey Neistat inspired Nate Punzalan style vlog. But if I see something by Luigi Pacheco, then I'll be super, you know, corny and I'll start to make puns in my head because that's what I just watched. And so that's the kind of video that you're going to see. Diba? I'm easy to influence in that way creatively. Yeah. Almost like a chameleon in a bad way. Well, there's good and bad. Instagram naman, it's mostly Pauline or brand deals that inspire my that influence my Instagram content. For Twitter, that's just my genuine thoughts about the world, coupled with Good Morning Nate because that's where I launched it mostly at first. And last but not the least, definitely not the least, the podcast. That's where I express all my thoughts and feelings. That's just what's in my heart. And maybe we can talk about this later, but because I know that I don't have a lot of listeners in my podcast, I can be more authentic. Oh, yeah. And it's a very interesting correlation. There's much less pressure because I know that there's less than 1,000 people listening to each podcast episode. And these people are going to be much less critical, and they can't leave comments on the podcast either. You know what I mean? And so, because there's that difference, there's that inherent change in the way that that content works. The stuff that I put out is a bit more vulnerable.
But do you ever feel conscious about the content that you put out? I mean, like, not everyone has the same beliefs or opinions. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I always, I would say for the YouTube channel, I'm always conscious of what I put out. For Instagram, I'm generally conscious, although, you know, it's really just pictures and stories and stuff that happens in my life. But of course, I want to be conscious of what I put out. In terms of Shemper being politically correct or whatever, sometimes I'm with, you know, my high school friends and they're making jokes that I don't want to publish online, you know what I mean? But I guess when it comes to, let's say, Twitter, and then I post something about me not liking what's happening in the Philippine government right now, I think that's where your question is directed. Inherently kasi, I believe what I say. I don't say it for the clout. And so, Twitter's is easier for me because number one, it's shorter, and so I can always make the excuse if someone hates on my tweet, na parang, oh, that's 160 characters, or I don't know how many characters, but that's just a few characters. Like, I can't express my whole thoughts here. If you want, we can talk one-on-one. But you didn't get the point. Thankfully, no one has come to me to do that. Because mainly because a lot of what I tweet doesn't go against the grain anyway. Mm-hmm. Although there was one na parang I got a lot of DDS trolls. That was kind of difficult.
Thanks.
But in general, if you ask me, oh, you tweeted about the dolomite sand in Manila Bay. Do you really believe that that wasn't the right decision? I'll tell you, yeah, I really believe it, genuinely. I really believe that, diba, what they did to Reyna May Nacino, or what they did in stealing $15 billion from PhilHealth, right? These are all inherently wrong, even evil, in my opinion. And if someone goes up against me on that, I would happily defend my position. And so that's one of the things that keeps me grounded and why I'm not conscious in that same way. Although with YouTube, I'm a bit conscious because, I have this history of, diba, a lot of people followed me thanks to my sister, whom I love and support. But a lot of them originally, diba, wanted content from me na they were just watching because I was Janina's good-looking kuya, you know? Kapal daw, sabi ni Pauline. No, but you know what I mean, okay?
Yeah.
Parang, pogi ni Kuya Nate, sige, magpa-meet and greet tayo, ganun. Tapos when they come in the meet and greet, hi, kamusta kayo? What school do you go to? And they don't answer me. They just ask me, where's Ate Janina? You know, it's a different dynamic. And so, coming from that sphere, I feel like my YouTube audience, I've always had to keep it up, to keep them happy, to keep them satisfied. I'm over that now, ever since 2018, 2019, but there was a time where I felt like a slave to my subscribers, that I had to give them what they wanted. They would ask for maybe a song cover, or they'd ask for a prank, or they'd ask for something funny, and I didn't feel super bebo that day. I kind of wanted to talk about the Bible, or I wanted to talk about something deep. Pero yung gusto nila, masaya eh. So, I'll just do something masaya. That's how I was conscious before.
I can say that your content like really improved a lot since then. So,
thank you.
Okay, so for our third question, this is something about like the validation that you get. Like, we all know that dapat yung valid, like sinasabi natin na yung validation natin na kuha natin from like ourselves, and we shouldn't get it from other people. Pero like minsan inevitable din naman. So do the comments and view count that you get give you a sense of validation?
Of course. I don't think, I mean, if I come across any YouTuber, right, that says they don't get any validation whatsoever from these things, I'm gonna ask him for his tips and tricks. Personally, I think that there is unhealthy validation and there is healthy validation. So unhealthy validation for, let's say, trash content, diba? Tapos parang ikaw mismo, you don't even believe in yourself and you're looking for them or what people are gonna say to validate you and to kind of build your self-identity and your self-worth, self-esteem. That's not healthy. That's not healthy because once that goes away, where are you to go, right? But then there is healthy validation. And I'd like to call it feedback. It's whenever you're launching a new app, let's say Airbnb when they first launched, right? Or an app like Lazada or Grab or whatever, then the first users are gonna say, wait, this feature doesn't work, this feature is glitching or it's bugged, ang pangit ng logo or whatever. And so they'll get that feedback and they'll reiterate, diba, their app and then launch it again, update it, and make it better and easier for users to use. And so but that doesn't mean the idea as a whole was bad, right? That doesn't mean Grab or Lazada or Airbnb as a whole was a bad idea. There is that kind of healthy validation. So, like, let's say I believe in my content. Are you okay? Let's say I believe in my content, which I do, and the message that I'm putting out, If people tell me, hey, your videos are too long or your videos are too short, maybe you can make them longer so they're more substantial, or kulang ng shots, it's just a shot of your face, maybe you can like put B-roll or whatever, I will not regard, that's not hate. That's, people understand the content. They want more of it. They want more of it. And they're just helping me improve and get better so that my content can add more value to more people. So that's how I view validation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for our fourth question, I actually doubt this, but do you ever get unnecessary hate?
No.
That's really good, because I'd be super shocked.
Okay. I'm really grateful. Okay, I'm blessed. I'm thankful. It's also because I don't dip my feet in the ocean of showbiz type content. Mm-hmm. If that's your thing, then great. You have balls, right? I don't. I can't go there, because once I go there, people are gonna criticize you for the smallest things, and even if it doesn't make sense. Di ba parang, I don't know, once I go there, ay, tumataba ka, Kuya Nate. Ay, ba't ka nakasalamin? Yung mga parang, ay, may pimple ka pala dito. Yes, it's, who cares, right? But at the same time, someone's saying it, eh. So, of course, it hurts. If it's unnecessary, though, syempre, yung pinaka, the deepest thing that I'm thinking is, you know, who cares? They're not giving a real, di ba? Hate is irrelevant compared to well thought out negative criticism. Mm-hmm. And so far, I haven't really gotten that. And if I have, it's okay, because it's the kind of audience I attract. So if there's any negative criticism, they're gonna be like, oh, I get your point, but I think you're wrong here. And then I say, oh, yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but I still believe this part about it. Okay, we can believe what we want. Mutual respect. That's like the best thing about the button. The only one is this year I got a lot of DDS trolls for one anti-Duterte tweet that I posted. I've never even posted anything like hashtag aus Duterte or anything against Duterte na opinion ko. It's only like, diba, there's a news article tweet from CNN na parang Duterte says he's never killed anyone, but then at the same time, there's also articles where Duterte says he's killed people. So, I mean, it's just what he said, you know? I got, 100 that day, and I ended up crying. This was this year. Pauline really helped me go through it.
Did you usually really reply to them?
No.
That's
nice. That's what they wanted. They want you to reply to them. Mm-hmm. And the more engagement that you give them, the more money that they earn.
Wait, I don't want to give them that.
Oh, okay. No problem. Oh, game.
Okay, so in relation to that question, we all know that social media can get really toxic at times. So it's really important that we have like day offs on social media and to like detoxify ourselves from that platform. So how do you do this, like, given the job that you have?
I'm not consistent naman kasi, di ba? I'm not consistent anyway. So it's not like, di ba? Before, when I started 2017, it was thesis month. Mm-hmm. Sa college. And I was vlogging 3 times a week also at the same time. Yun yung mabigat, di ba? Yun yung madugo. So it took a lot of effort, but eventually, di ba, I told myself, hey, I better focus on my thesis first, di ba? I better focus on my studies. I don't have a lot to say on this. It's good to take breaks, but personally, I'm just not super consistent in my content. That's like a free break for me. But whenever I stop doing Good Morning Nate, because that's an everyday thing, it's usually because, you know, there's a very important thing. So recently, my last break, I did maybe around 10 to 15 episodes in a row in the past couple months. And then I stopped for a while because I was flying here to the States, which I haven't revealed all the information about it yet. But I mean, I'm here, so I'm just fixing the documents and everything. Because another one was I was doing it for like 100+ straight days now, and then I decided I'll take a break because I have to prepare for the wedding. It's when you spot something important, it's really good to take a break. People get, I'll add na lang, I think just sometimes the reason people don't want to take a break is because they're scared that if you're away for too long, you're going to become irrelevant. Diba? And from a business perspective, that's very valid. From a self-esteem perspective, saan mo ba kinukuha yung validation mo? Diba? Is that, do you find it in yourself or in your loved ones or in the Lord? Or are you looking for it in your views and likes and subscribers? Because that's a different story.
Okay, so how would you say are you influenced by the platform that you have right now? And how do you think do you influence it in return?
Yeah. What do you mean by platform in specific?
Like all your social media accounts in general, YouTube, your podcast, stuff. Yeah.
I mean, as opposed kasi to YouTube, the company, diba? But anyway, I think it's a symbiotic relationship. We both help each other. We have relationships. Like, I mean, you guys now, diba? Ray, Hansel, and Julia, like, you guys can now Telegram me anytime you want. And it's, I'm not always going to reply right away, diba? I mean, there's a whole bunch of people also emailing me and stuff like that. But at the same time, there's the sense that there's community. But there's a sense that one of the things that, for example, one of the things I've tried to do sa Good Morning, Nate, or some of the videos, I don't always do it, but I try not to say you guys. I try to say you. And so I look straight in the camera and I say, no, I see that you're watching. And I'm not going to say you guys as if you're part of a collective group. I'm going to talk to you as a person. And what that has done, that at least not just that, practical action, but the whole mindset around it, treating viewers as human beings, allowing them to email for advice, and then I'd answer and things like that. It's community. And I think that's what my viewership is like mostly. And ever since I stopped chasing numbers, ever since I stopped chasing, you know, I mean, not that they're bad, right? But the type of audience na fangirl, Kuya Nate, right? But I'm looking for people to talk to, right? And people who understand, and people who I can understand also. It's really changed the way that my content is done now.
That's in a good way. Okay, so do you ever feel pressured about other people's perception of you? Because, syempre, like as a social media influencer or a content creator, you have your audience that you influence. So, syempre, like nape-pressure ka ba dun sa fact na yan?
Yeah. This is just a hard yes, of course. Especially, I mean, I explained to you a little bit about, diba, 2017, 2018, fangirls type, diba, being a slave to my subscribers. That's, I still go through moments like that now, diba. I'm still scared sometimes that if I put something out on YouTube, or even when brainstorming, my thought process is, are people gonna like this? Are people gonna watch it? I don't think that should be the case. I learned a new word recently. It's the name of a band, but I didn't know what that word meant. It's autotelic, diba? So autotelic means, parang auto is like itself, and then telic is end. So what you do is an end in itself. And I remember the days when, I think part of it's the money, and part of it is the viewership, kasi. Or like when you have so many viewers that you can't even count them and you don't know who they are anymore, that changes the perspective of what used to be an autotelic art. I used to make videos just because I personally thought they were funny, or because I thought, oh, my friend will find this funny. My specific friend Miko, right? Or my mom, right? There are people in my head. Hindi lang yung, oh, I think this collective group, this market is gonna find it funny. No. Or I enjoyed making this vlog because I enjoyed making this vlog. I think that's where creative work shines the most. And I think that the internet, social media platforms, putting advertising and clout chasing and numbers and growth and revenue into this whole, diba, ecosystem of content creation and making it into influencerhood, that has drastically changed the way that this art can become autotelic. It's now a business, and that's not a bad thing, but I don't know, I got into it for the passion. Mm-hmm. And because that has changed in my life, it's also changed the quality of my work and my attitude towards it sometimes.
But do you think that other people's perception of you has affected like your own perception of yourself? Was there ever
If with regards to being a content creator, if people don't like my content, that means I'm not a good content creator in my mind. That's not true. That's not the universal truth, but syempre, it always feels like that. I mean, if I put out a video, right, that I work hard on, I tell this story all the time whenever I do talks in school. Nung 2017, Air Asia flew me out to Singapore for free. They paid for my food, they paid for my flight, my accommodation. All I had to do was vlog about it. I spent 16 hours, which is a lot, shooting and editing a travel edit. Okay. When I got home, pagod na ako. Sabi ko, sige, this week I'll make a very easy video. I spent 3 hours compared to 16. I made a prank video. Prank Janina Vela, right? Which is still fun. But yung 16 hours na yun, I did it again because it was autotelic to me, because it was an end in itself. It was so rewarding being able to create something that I found so beautiful. Plus, it was, I guess, inherently more successful because it was a company that sent me there for free. But it's just so distorted, man, the way that social media makes it seem. That video initially got around 6,000 views. The prank video next week, which I used a lot less time on, got like 80,000 views. So that's more than 10 times the appreciation or the validation. It made me feel like the autotelic video that I made was not worth it, that it sucked, that that it wasn't worth creating, and that it made my perception of myself a very bad content creator. And especially because, I mean, you can figure out all of the very fair and very real justifications that will just snap me back into reality, that Nate, ano ba, Janina has more followers, so of course more people are gonna flock to that video. Ano ba, the culture of the entertainment and social media content in the Philippines is really towards, it favors pranks over your spoken word, whatever travel edit that no Filipino is gonna wanna watch, diba? Diba? It's different. And you can find the real reason. But online validation became so important to me, which is wrong, that it made me feel like I'm a bad content creator.
Okay, so for the last question for this set, you actually already sort of tackled this a while ago, but how different and similar is your personality on social media and in real life? And how do you set your boundaries between the two?
At this point, they're very different. I think you can feel it, especially if you've been watching ever since 2017. I don't know how long you guys have been watching, but if it's 2017, kasi you I would show every part of my house, diba? I would show all of my siblings, all of my parents, all of my friends, and vlogging was the new thing, and we were all excited about it, and it wasn't bad. There are some people who go overboard. I'm thankful that I don't have a story where it really invaded my privacy. Ako okay lang ako with that then. Not invading privacy, but okay lang ako with revealing certain details about my life or my room, yung mga ganun. So even a room tour wasn't a huge deal for me. Like, I don't have to make a room tour video. I just, guys, here's my room. Oh. Parang ganun. Yeah, it's that simple to me. Now, things are very different. Not because I'm more concerned about privacy or whatever. Of course, number one, Pauline is, diba, very, very important. She's the most important person in the world. And I don't want to be filming things that she doesn't want me to be showing to thousands of people. Out of, diba? That's one. The clutter down in the house. But then the other one is, it just doesn't matter as much anymore in terms of the content that I make. I'm not a vlogger anymore. I can vlog, but I'm an inspirational content creator. I've made 240 videos, diba? That inspire people and more. And so I feel like my content is going in that direction. And it's just that's my answer to the question. I don't have a lot of like privacy, invasion of privacy stories about it.
Okay, so we're on to the last set. So this one's about like more on your thoughts about being a social media influencer. So first question, how did social media affect your personal perspective, views, and outlooks in your life?
Yeah. Okay, I'll answer social media as a whole. Me being a social media consumer, I hear so many opinions now. I need to filter out, I don't know, some trash opinions, right? But the good ones are worth studying, right? There are a lot of good opinions, regardless whether I agree with it or disagree with it. But there are a lot of opinions out there, or just logical arguments that are nice to follow and will help expand your perspective on the world and how people think. Because, I mean, we're all different humans with different perspectives on life. And if you're so one-sided and closed-minded, you're not going to be a very good human being to your fellow man, right? So there's issues like religion, politics, economics, mental health, standing up for what's right, being politically correct. These are all things that, thanks to social media, because there's so many opinions now, right? Someone can say a certain thing about Michael Pacquiao's rap, right? And then another person is going to lead that to, diba, saying something about the music industry as a whole. And then they're going to lead that to, oh, kasi yung mga nasa, diba, those on top are going to be... It's kind of a messy, it's kind of a chaotic conversation. But at the same time, it's very insightful when you look at it from the right perspective. Being a social media affecting my personal perspective, I can't really speak on that. It's really more just consuming kasi the content of a lot of other people and learning from them.
So what are the biggest lessons that you've learned in the industry that you're in?
Not everyone is an influencer, but everyone is an influence. Diba? Even viewers have an influence on the influencer, like I just talked about. And wherever you are, whatever platform you're using, whether you have 1 million or 100 followers, whether you have social media or not at all, you're always going to encounter other human beings. And the way that you interact with them can influence and change the way that they think and act. So we better do that in a way that affects them positively and in a way that impacts their lives for the better.
Wait, so in creating your content pala, do you have like a specific thinking process, thought process on how you come up with the things that you're gonna say?
Yeah, Well, good morning, Nate, is ano na, streamlined na. I'll just read my Bible, diba? I'll just quiet time, or I'm reading maybe another book, a practical one, let's say Atomic Habits by James Clear. That's one of my favorite ones. Nice. Building good habits, diba? Yung mga ganong, and then I find something, or maybe from a YouTuber. I don't know if you guys know Matt D'Avella.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Diba? Taga States yata or Canada or something, na Western YouTuber. And stuff I learn, diba? I just pass it on. That's easy. When it comes to YouTube, the podcast is also easy. I just say whatever's on my mind. When it comes to YouTube, right now, I'm figuring that out again. And after learning the word autotelic, after changing location to the other side of the world, things are very exciting in my mind creatively. I also just got a new laptop. Very thankful for God's provision. And because of my old one, the screen was broken. So I wasn't able to do a lot of things on it. I had to connect it to a TV, and that was a huge hassle. It wasn't easy working on that, and it wasn't easy editing and stuff. But now that I have a brand new one, there's no excuse now. And I have to make content somehow, because it's here, it's in my blood. And I'm gonna find that process, and I'm excited for what the future holds.
Okay, so for our last question, what kind of person do you think would have you become if you did not pursue YouTube?
Good question. Graphic designer, maybe. I still enjoy graphic design. There's a small chance I would have become some sort of psychologist. I like studying the way people think. Brand identity consultant is one. Diba? For example, I say, what is the red soft drink? Diba? It's Coca-Cola. Of course it is. But that's because someone engineered and designed, diba, you to think top of mind, red soft drink, Coca-Cola. Diba? Parang, that's one. Or digital marketing consultant, copywriter, documentary videographer. I told you I love shooting documentaries. But those are the fields that I might have pursued. Fun fact, around second or third year, and actually high school all the way until halfway through college, and you would see it in some of my early content, I really wanted to pursue music. I wanted to become some sort of indie artist, singer, songwriter type of person. And that's still not out of the picture, but
The song you wrote for Ate Polly.
yun, or yung sa Sagada, that's my favorite one with Kiefer. I used to do events, kasi I used to set up gigs. You know, before I would set up gigs for Sina Kiefer, before Ben and Ben was a thing. For Reese Lansangan, for Clara Benin, for Muni Muni. They're all like a whole circle of friends. I'm just very honored. So we're around 2014 to 2016 thereabouts. We were setting up productions for them, and they were non-profit, solely for the passion of it, since we're students pa. So I still what, sorry?
Get to perform.
No na. I haven't sung in a while. My voice is really rusty already. I perform sa church. I serve sa church. Mm-hmm. I play keyboard. Tapos si Pauline, she plays the guitar.
So that's basically all our questions. Thank you so much. We learned so much. I'm so honored.
Don't feel pressure da, but I want to see yung magiging, I don't know if that's a final paper.
Mm-hmm. We're
going to
send it.
I want to read it. I want to hear what insights you guys get from it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you guys.
God bless.
Take care. Telegram me na lang.
Take care. Bye.
Wow, you made it all the way to the end and you're still listening up to now. If you have any questions, any insights, any things you've learned, or any even opinions of mine that you want to challenge, then respectfully send over an email to nate.punsalan@gmail.com. I'm very happy to engage in dialogue and discourse with you or anyone who is listening. I always have fun with the community, with the paper cups, and I just like talking to open minds. So that's it for now. I'll see you in the next one. God bless. Oh yeah, and as always, have a great day.